So we saw last time, as mentioned, we're not going to learn the whole Mishnah Kaseda because most of the Mishnah deals with particular halachas that we'll get back to much later on. And it's a shame to do it all now because we're going to forget it by the time we get to the Gemara. We saw the beginning of the Mishnah. That's what we're really going to focus on in the beginning. The Dinei Momonos B'Shloisha. In fact, that's the name of the whole parak. Dinei Momonos B'Shloisha. Monetary matters have to be dealt with by a bezin of three people. The Mishnah at the moment did not, the Mishnah did not tell us where the magic number three comes from. The Mishnah did tell us later on that there's a Bezdin of 23 and there's a Bezdin of 71. 71 is quite simple because Moshe Rabbeinu was told to gather Shivim Zakenim, 70 of the elders, plus him. That was 71, although there was a debate about that. 23 was more complicated. And 23 is really what we want to focus on today. Maybe, Larry, you can ask your question live. Ooh, let me just switch off my phone. I'm sorry. You can ask your question live, but let's just first recap what we learned. The Mishnah said on the bottom of Daf Beis Amud Aleph that because the Pasuk says, V'shoftu ho'edo v'hitzilu ho'edo, how's that translated? They shall judge the community. They shall save the community. This is referring to Beis Din. The Dayonim should either judge or save the community. Now, how do you judge? How do you save? So Rashi explained, judging means guilty. Save means innocent. What is a community? The number of a community is 10. That we learn from the Meraglim. Because the Meraglim were referred to as the Eidah, the evil community that cannot have incorporated Yeshua and Kalev. There were 12 altogether, minus 2 is 10. So Eidah always means 10. You have to have a Beis Din in which there is a possibility of 10 judging and 10 saving. In other words, 10 guilty and 10 innocent. Not obviously that you have to actually practically have 10 judges saying that, but you've got to have the possibility of them saying that. I can only have 10 guilty and 10 innocent if there's a minimum of 20 dayanim. I've always got to have that possibility, that theoretical possibility, not practical. Nobody's telling us that every Beis Din you've got to have the score is 10-10. You've got to have the possibility of the score being 10-10. However, as we know, you cannot have an even numbered Beis Din for the simple reason, because what are you going to do if it's a split decision? So obviously, we've got to have at least 21. Here comes the big question. The Gemara, the Mishnah brought the Psukim. On the one hand, it says, Loi siyeh achri rabim l'rois, do not follow the majority for bad. What does it mean for bad? Obviously, for guilty. What does that mean? Don't follow the majority for a guilty verdict. Sounds like you would, however, follow the majority for an innocent verdict. That makes perfect sense. The problem is, in the very next pasuk, what does it say? Follow the majority. Well, obviously, you've just told me, don't follow the majority for guilty verdict, which implicitly means do follow the majority for an innocent verdict. So why would you now need to say, follow the majority? You've just told it to me, at least it's been inferred. So let's have a look once again. Look at the second bottom line, Sanhedrin Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Im Kain, in the middle of that line, Lomo Nema, why does it say, Acharei Rabim Lahatois, quote unquote? Why does the Pasuk need to tell us, follow the majority? What does the word lahatois mean, by the way? It means to veer, to lean in the direction of the majority. Why does it need to say that? So the Mishnah made the following drosha, and this brings us to the number 23. Loi kahatayoscha l'toiva, hatayoscha l'ra'a. Not the way you lean to innocent is the way you lean to guilty. When we use these words, toivo and ro'o, that's obviously a phrase referring to guilty and innocent. In other words, You always follow the majority. Don't make a mistake of translating the pasuk literally. Don't follow the majority for ra'ah. That's not what it means. It means don't follow the majority for guilty in the identical way that you follow the majority for innocent. So, do we follow the majority? Yes, we do. Is it true for both a guilty verdict and an innocent verdict? Yes, it is. But is it exactly the same? No. What's the difference? Says the Mishnah. The last line on the bottom. The way you lean towards Toiv is al pi echod, is with a majority of one. So I cannot have 20, as mentioned before. If I have 21 Dayanim, 11 of whom say innocent and 10 say guilty, that is the slimmest possible margin, but it's a roiv. Albeit it's a roiv of only one, for innocent, that's good enough. However, says the Mishnah, Hatayos cholera is al pishnayim. When, however, you follow the majority for a guilty verdict, a majority of one is not good, you've got to have two. So if it will be an 11-10 verdict in the favor of guilty, that would not be good enough. I've got to have a majority of two. Now, remember, my baseline was 20. Because I've always got to have the possibility of having 10 guilty and 10 innocent. Well, if I have 10 guilty minimum and 10 innocent and 10 guilty minimum, how am I going to end up ever with a majority of two for guilty? The answer is 22. If I have 22, then I've satisfied all requirements. Why have I satisfied all requirements? Because I've got the possibility of 10-10 minimum, plus I've got the possibility of a verdict of a margin of two. There is one technical problem. And what is that? I can't have an even-numbered Bezdin, says the Mishnah on the top line on the next page. The Ein Bezdin Shokul. But you can never have an even number of Bezdin. Therefore, Moisifim Aleim Oid Echad. If you've got to add one more, Hari Kan, you get therefore to the number of Esrim Mishleisha. Now, there are a number of Rashis that we need to see, but Larry, is your question still pertinent at this stage?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, what's the question?
The question is, if they're telling us that you need 23 for guilty, why do they have to tell us and you need 21 for innocent? If you don't have 23, it's automatically innocent.
Correct. I don't have a separate pasuk for that. All the pasuk tells me is the majority for innocent is not the same majority for guilty. Now we have to work out the numbers ourselves.
Yeah, but the point is, why are they even telling us you need 21 for innocent?
The pasuk
doesn't. Otherwise, if you don't have guilty, he's automatically innocent. So all you had to say was 23 guilty, and that's it.
100%, but the Mishnah needs to tell us how we got to that number. We got to that number by starting off with the magic number 20. I've got to begin with 20. 21 would suffice for an innocent verdict. I need 23 for a guilty. You're quite right. Once I know 23 for a guilty, with anything less than that, then obviously he's innocent. But the Gemara
they're building and saying, we really could use 21. And then they're saying, no, 21 is not enough for guilty. So right. We need 23. So that's why they told us. So it's not like they're saying 23 for guilty, but 21 for innocent. The only reason they're saying 21 for innocent is because they're building on top of that.
Correct, 100%.
Okay. Got it.
So now have a look at Rashi at the bottom of the page. This we have not learned yet.
Bottom of Amud Aleph.
Base Amud Aleph, the very last Rashi. Loi kahata oscho, not the way that you lean. The majority ruling for guilty is not the same as innocent. Says Rashi, Loi kahatayoscho achare rabim lizchus, following the majority for zchus. Rabbi said this word zchus is going to be very, very significant. Zechus always means innocent. Loi katayos ha'achre rabim lezechus. Ani oimer lecho lintois. The way that I tell you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to follow and reach a majority of innocent is not the same way as achare rabim lechoivo. Is not the same as achare rabim lechoivo, not the same way that you'd reach a majority verdict for guilty. Comma. Hello, rather, this is the difference. Lizchus al pi echod, excuse me. When it comes to an innocent majority, then al pi echod, one is fine. What does that mean, one is fine? Afilu ein yeserin. Even if there are no more mezakin al hamchayvin, what does mezakin mean? Mezakin are the judges who are calling innocent. The mechayvim are the judges who are calling guilty. How many more mezakin, how many more innocent, quote unquote, judges do I have than guilty? Even if I have no more elo echad, only one more. It's 11:10.
Zachar,
he's innocent, because that's called the majority. Avol, choivo. When, however, it comes to a guilty verdict, ad sheyu mechayvin, I've got to have the guilty verdict, the guilty judges, oidfin. What does oidfin mean? Overriding. There's got to be a majority, not of one. Oidfin ala mazakin, they've got to outnumber the innocent rulers by shnayim, by two.
What's the chiddush here?
One second, let's finish off. That's the pasuk, v'hochi ka'omar. And this is what's meant. Remember, we always say v'hochi ka'omar does not mean this is what it says, but rather this is now what the pasuk means. Loi tie achri rabim lerois, quote unquote. That pasuk is very difficult to understand. How would we translate that pasuk literally? Loi tie achri rabim lerois, literally translated is, do not follow the majority for ra, meaning for guilty. But we know that's not true. We do follow the majority for guilty. So therefore, Rashi is saying, you're right, don't translate that literally. When it says, don't follow the majority for guilty, don't put a period at the end of that sentence. Rather, keep reading. Yeah. Don't follow the majority for guilty in the same way as you'd follow the majority for innocent. That's what it means. Not as a rule, never follow the majority for guilty. Of course we follow the majority for guilty. But the way that we follow the majority for guilty is not the same way as we do for innocent. That's what it means, says Rashi. V'ochi ka'oma, quote unquote, loi siya achre rabim lerois, do not follow the majority for guilty, means al pi echod. That's what it means. Not never follow the majority for guilty, but rather, do not follow the majority for guilty if I've only got a majority of one. Avol, achri rabim b'shnayim. If, however, the margin is two, then you do follow the majority. Afilu l'rois, even if it's for guilty. Hilkoch, therefore, if that's the requirement, now all the numbers make sense. Al korchof, we are forced to say, chof base 22 bo'inon is what we require. Why 22? Why can't I have 16? The answer is no, because I've got to always have the possibility of having 10. The botzir me'asara mezakin, because less than 10 innocent judges Leka lameima, that is not a possibility. The hoksu, because it says, quote unquote, v'hitzilu ha'eda. I've got to have a whole eda, 10 judges, at least the possibility of 10 judges, saving the guy, meaning calling him innocent. V'suloi mishkachas choiva, and therefore you're not going to find any scenario of guilty, but sir less than yud beis. If I've got to have a minimum of 10 possible innocent judges, and I've got to have a majority of 2, well, 10 and 2 is 12. So if I've got to have 10 minimum for innocent, I've got to have 12 minimum for guilty, that's altogether 22. Says Rashi over the armored, Ve'ein bezdin shokul. Ein oisin bezdin zugois. You cannot have bezdin in pairs, meaning in even number. Why not? Shim yichalku lechatzoin, because if they are split into 2, then havalahu palga upalga. Then you're going to have the bezdin a split half half if ever it's an even number. V'loy mishkachas lo hatayoscha l'toivo al piachot. Well, then you're not going to have a majority, even of 1, for innocent, because it might be a split verdict. If I'm an odd number, you will always have a majority, always. You might, by the way, ask me, what's the halacha if one of the dayonim abstains? Can't I end up then also with a split decision? If I have 21 dayonim, and one dayan says, sorry, I can't come to a final ruling, I can't get to a maskana, I abstain, well, then I might be left with 10-10. So what do I gain by having an odd-numbered bezdin? I still may end up with a split decision because maybe one dayan will back out. This is a fundamental question. Can a dayan abstain? Or does he have to come to a ruling one way or another? If he has to come to a ruling one way or another, well, then we understand. If you have an odd number, you'll always have a majority, always. This is a fundamental question which we will come back to. Says Rashi, Hilkoch, therefore, Moisifim Alehem Oid Echod. Therefore, we have to add one more to the number that we reached so far, which was 22, and that's how we get to the magic number 23. Says Rashi, Uba Gemara Parich, the Gemara much later. We're not going to get to this for a good few months. And Daf Yud Zayin, Parich, Kiven de Ein Bezdin Shokul, because you cannot have an even numbered Bezdin for reasons we just explained, Umitzrachas Esrim Veshloisho. Hatoya l'ra'a, a majority for guilty, loy alpi shnayim, loy mashkachas lo. We'll have to put that kasha aside. In due course, we will get there. Now, we're going to leave the rest of the Mishnah. I know we've jumped around a little bit, but I already explained, if we learn the whole Mishnah, then we're going to lose sight of the first sugya that we're going to deal with. So what was the first sugya? The first line of the Mishnah, and this is the name of the perek, Dinei Momonos Bishlesha. So have a look once again at the opening line of the Mishnah, which is the opening line of the perek, which is the opening line of the Masechta. The Mishnah says a very bizarre phrase, Dinei Momonos Bishlesha, Gezelois V'chavalois Bishlesha. Gezel is theft, chavolos is injury. Now, what is the obvious question? In fact, it's so obvious that Rashi was there to save us. Rashi says, I know you're going to have this question. The Gemara is going to ask the question, and that's what we're about to see now. The obvious question is, gezelos, the chavolos, is dine momenus. So why does the Mishnah split it up into 2? Why does the Mishnah say monetary matters requires 3 dayonim? Gezelos v'chavolos requires 3 dayonim. You've already told me that. Because momonos includes gezelos v'chavolos. So the chayra, there is a total unnecessary repetition. Totally unnecessary. Says the Gemara, this is going to be the Gemara's very first kasha. Says the Gemara, otu always means a question. Otu gezelois v'chavolois lav dine momenois ninhu? Question mark. Is gezelois v'chavolois not dine momenus? What does ninhu mean? They. Gezelois v'chavolois, are they not dine momenus? It's a rhetorical question. Of course they are. And if they are, why are you singling them out after you've already been makdim dine momenus b'shleisha? You've already said that. So why do I now need to say, by the way, gzeilos v'chavolos b'shleisha? Why? Is that not dine momenus? Omer abavahu. So we're going to see there's more than one answer, but this is the first one. Omer Rabavo, Mahain Katoni. Mahain means what are they? The Mishnah is defining what they are. Meaning, when it says Dine Momenus Beshloisho, had the Mishnah not explained what we were referring to, what would we have understood? That this is referring to every single case of momenus. Anything to do with finance, any monetary argument is always adjudicated by three. That's surely what I would have thought. So the Mishnah needs to explain, Mahein, what are they? What am I actually referring to? When I said Dine Momenus B'Shloisha, I'm actually not referring to all monetary cases, says the Gemara. Ma hein dine momenus. What are those dine momenus that I was referring to? And the answer is gezelois v'chavolis. That's what I'm referring to. And what are you excluding? Avol hoidois v'halvois loi. We'll see more details in Rashi for a moment, but let's just translate. Hoidois means admissions. Halvois means loans. Now, if two people come to a Bezdin and they say, listen, we have an argument in Dine Momenis. That obviously could be referring to a number of different scenarios. Reuven claims that Shimon owes him money. Well, that's a very vague statement. Why does Shimon owe you money, at least according to your claim? So it could be for gezelois v'chavolois. I claim that he stole something from me. I claim that he committed some sort of damage. Or, no, there was no theft. And there was no injury. But it was a hoidois. He admitted that he owes me money. Or I lent him money. If I lent him money, there's no theft. There's no injury. Says the Mishnah, this is the way the Gemara is explaining. For the moment, we don't fully understand it, but at least we know now what it's referring to. Dine momenus b'shloisha. Monetary matters are adjudicated with three. Says the Mishnah, I need to immediately qualify that. Don't make a mistake of thinking that's a sweeping statement that refers to every single case of dine momenus. No. What I meant was, gezelois v'chavolois are with three, but hoidois v'halvois are not. What does that mean, they're not? We don't know yet. Why should there be a difference? We also don't know yet. We also don't know that if it only refers to gezelois v'chavolois, then why would I need that introductory statement in the first place? Why do I need to write Dine Momenus B'Shloisha and then need to qualify it? Well, don't tell me the rule. Just tell me Dine Gzeilois V'Chavolois is with three. Finish, and then we all go home. There's no room for a mistake. So we have a lot of questions over here, but at least we understand how to read the Mishnah, although we don't yet understand the logic of the Mishnah. We know how to read the Mishnah. Dine Momenus Beshloisha is the rule. When is that? Mahein Katoni. When is that? What particular case is being referred to? Not all monetary cases, rather Gezelos v'chavolos. As opposed to what? As opposed to Hoidois and Halvois. Why should that be different? And how is that different? And what is the rule in that case? We haven't yet learned. But all we know is it's not the same. And that's why Gezelos v'chavolos are being singled out. Let's see Rashi. First Rashi on the Gemara. Mahein k'toni. Hi, this phrase of quote unquote gezelois v'chavolois. Pirusha, it is an explanation of the dine momenus hu. It's an explanation. It's not another case. Deloi tema. Because you should not say, don't misunderstand the Mishnah, which we might well misunderstand the Mishnah because it's very, very confusing. Don't misunderstand and think, kol dine momenus b'mashma. Don't think that all monetary cases are being referred to, because it's not. What is being referred to? Only two cases, gezelois v'chavolois. And what not? Ulemiutei halvois v'hoidois. As opposed to loans and admissions, why are those different? Shehein bo'in al gemilus chasadim. A loan, how did a loan come about? Because I did a chesed to you. The Rashi is now hinting to a very, very fundamental yesod, which the Gemara is going to discuss later on, is that we want to make it as easy as possible to deal with issues of loans. Why? Because if somebody knocks on my door saying, listen, I'm in big financial trouble, could you lend me $1,000? If I know in the back of my mind that it's going to be so complicated to get the money back in case of an argument, what am I going to say? Forget it. Who needs this? So Chazal and the Torah have an interest in making it as easy as possible for me. The more complicated it's going to be by going to Beis Din, I've got to assemble all Beis Din and which Dayan and what the number, the more complicated it is, the less likely I'm going to want to do it. That's not the case, by the way, in theft and damage. Theft and damage did not come about through a chesed. So it might well be that, yes, we have strict requirements as to what type of Beis Din is required. But when it comes to loans or hoidois, what's hoidois? An admission. I came on my own bat, on my own volition, and I came and I admitted the following. I would like to give you the following money. Why owe you money? We want to make it as easy as possible. He didn't have to volunteer, but he chose to do so. So let's make it as easy and as smooth, plain sailing as we possibly can. We don't want to now come down on a ton of bricks and him, oh, well, what did you mean? And what did you say? And what the Dayanim, we're going to see later on. The Dayanim are much more easygoing. Says Rashi, Halvoyos v'hoidoyos, says Rashi, Shehein bo'in al gemilus chasodim. They came about through a chesed, the Ika ne'ilas deles. There is always the concern of, what does it mean, ne'ilas deles? Closing the door, bifnei loivin. I don't want to close the door on borrowers. I don't want to make the life of a borrower a misery. I don't want to close the door. If I know that it's going to be very, very strict procedure dealing with loans, then basically I've just shut the door on all borrowers. I've made their life a misery. Why? Because nobody's going to want to lend them money. Kedah Amrinon Lekamon, says Rashi, as the Gemara is going to explain later. Hilkoch, and that's why Ma'atinu. That's why we are not referring to those cases. We only need three dayonim in the strictest census of the word, in Gezel and Chavolis. Now, the $64 million question is, of course, okay. So you're telling me what does not apply in the case of Halvois. But what does? So what is the rule? What, you don't need three dayonim? How many do you need? What, just two? One? Says Rashi. Rashi's always there to rescue us. Great question, says Rashi. Well, come on, Mefarish. Later on, the Gemara will explain, Mimai Ma'atinu. What exactly is the limitation? We're only told what it isn't, but we're not told what it is. We're told that three dayonim in the strictest sense of the word, that only refers to gezeilus v'chavolos. It does not apply to halvois. Okay, thank you very much. You've told me what does not apply, but you haven't told me what it does. So what is the rule? We only need one dayan? Maybe that's the case. It's obviously much more easy to assemble a bezdin if I only need one dayon as opposed to three. So maybe that's what the Mishnah means. Maybe the Mishnah means we want to do everything we can to accommodate loans. We don't want to close the door. So if somebody knocks on my door saying, listen, can you please lend me money? What do I think to myself? Okay, it's not so scary. Worst comes to worst, if it ends up with a bit of a balagan, all I need to do is assemble a bezdin of one dayon. That's not such a difficult proposition. But if I think to myself, oh, gewalt, I need to have three. Oh, that's too much of a headache. No, forget it. I'm not lending you money. Is that what the Mishnah means? We don't know at this stage. Says Rashi, good question. The Gemara will explain. Okay, we have to pause it over here. Larry, it's great to see you. Really, really wonderful to see you. You look great, Baruch Hashem. So, Imitz Hashem, back on tomorrow, same time, Mirza Hashem.
Can I ask one quick question?